I'm Mary Flynn. Greg Donovan and I are the senior editors of Blackbird. With us is Patty Payne, the editor of Diode, and Jeff Lodge, the webmaster of Diode. We're glad to have you all here for some wonderful poetry of a lot of the writers we've both published, and some of them, a few, are just our own. There's a sheet that sort of gives you some information on all the readers. We're sorry Erica Dawson is ill and won't be here. But the reading order is Tracy Brimhall and Bryn Sato, Andrea Cohen, Tarfia Fazula, Jamal May, Catherine Pierce, Liana Quill, David Wojon, C. Dale Young, and ending up with Bob Hickok, who will come in while we're underway. So, ladies, let's begin. And thank you all for being here.
Hey, everyone. We wrote things together, and then, yeah, like this. So this is my best friend, Bryn, and we wrote some poems together, and Patty was kind enough to publish some of our collaborative poems together, as well as the collaborative chat books. So we're just each going to read one of the collaborative poems that we wrote together. It might be important to know that all of the poems in the chat book that we wrote together sort of feature a girl who's wandering through a ruined city, and the city is speaking to the girl. And lots of people like to ask, like, well, how did you collaborate? How did that work? And if you want to know, we'd be happy to bore you with all of the details at over a drink, preferably you purchase it for us. Or the panel, we're doing a panel Saturday morning if you want to know the boring details. We really will share them, but everybody wants to get onto their sliders and beer. So this one is called Bordello. So the Bordello speaks to the girl in the ruined city. To return to the place of your birth is to be born again. But a body made of moon dust can never be the light on the water at dusk. Your mother loved stroking your hair and humming songs of flight. As you slept, the darkest rooms claimed her as their mistress. Night was your only teacher. You learned redemption is a fool's prayer. The cross around your neck will not save you. Neither will the one on your back. Pleasure first arrives as pain, a muffled hallelujah, a frail hand, a stuttering heart. You stood barely clothed in the April rain, waiting for men to come downstairs so your mother could tuck you in. A soldier spilled champagne on the piano and the music slowed to quarter notes. Another bent to tie his shoe and you saw blood on his collar. Once you believed no pleasure went unpunished. Now you know lust is a stay against ruin. Kiss a man to stop a minute. Touch his body to hide the hour. Along the boulevard lit with the lowest glow, you move the way your mother showed you, the body a beauty unto itself, all curve and angle, all skin and sinew and desperate joy.
Hey everyone, I'm Bryn and this is The Fountain. Water drowns your panic like a Sunday blessing. It's spring. The sky above you darkens with rain. You think passion is your only gift, but a sadness older than the sea keeps time in your blood. Once you saw two skeletons locked in a kiss, time has forgotten them. Time forgets everything except the swan's neck reflected in the dark fountain and the way it cried out, its silver anthem of loneliness. Do not drink from here. The water looks cold and clean, but clarity like that only leads to madness. Remember when you came here with the one who held your body, even as it changed beneath his hands, and waited for you to renounce the world? You will never renounce it. Thank you.
Thank you to Blackbird and Diode and for everyone for being here. I believe we're supposed to read for 57 minutes. Is that correct? I'll come in a little under that. This is called To Whom It May Concern. Soon I'll move to Norway. If that's a bitter pill, well, swallow. I'm going, and I won't wallow, not in Norway, where they're so beyond slave labor, with laws that say a clerk must work within 5 meters of a window through which she can see a tree and by that tree be seen. My mind's made up. I will be Norwegian with Norwegian trees. I'll be seer and be seen. It's a scenic scene. It's how it goes, I'm going. Tell the top brass if they ask. I don't give a damn about their asses. But I will miss the beaches and the ashes. It's not their fault I'm leaving. They're only trees and leaving. I'm Norwegian. This is called Butter. I've never seen the land of milk and honey, but once at the Iowa State Fair, I glimpsed the cow fashioned of butter. It lived behind a window in an icy room beneath Klieg lights. I filed past as one files past a casket at a wake. It was that sad. A butter cow without a butter calf. Nearby, I spied a butter motorcycle, motorcycle-sized. A mechanical afterthought I thought the cow might have liked to ride. You don't drive a motorcycle. You ride it. But not if you're a butter cow. Not if you're a butter cow who's seen, if not the land of milk and honey, the land of milk, and dwelled within it. It had a short lifespan, the butter cow. Before it died, I looked deep into its butter eyes. It saw my butter soul. I could have wept or spread myself for nobody across dry toast. This is called Naming the Animals. Rover, Lucky, Charles. Like movie stars, the dogs and cats get one name. The children try naming the cows and pigs. Better not to, we say, not quite explaining the logic of attachment and slaughter. In Warsaw, we're on a first-name basis with the dead, the memorial unable to contain the magnitude of erasure. So what we've got is the 400 names most commonly given and taken. Hanna, Alter, Malach. It's 1988. I'm standing inside the monument made to represent an open train car. The cars that took Oscar and Edda and Abel from the Umschlagplatz opened their doors to Treblinka. It's winter. I'm writing the names in a notebook I'll lose somewhere over the Atlantic. But the names aren't lost. Eliyahu, Rita, Selina. It's taken me 25 years to know what to do. Say them. Simca and Reuben and Impish Pincus, just beginning to name his animals. Two very short poems. Fur's not mine. The Russians have a way of saying what must be said, and one need not be or speak Russian to comprehend the sense of fur's not mine. One need only to have known deep cold and inmost Siberia, made more Siberian by one who basks nearby, oblivious in her Bolivia. The committee weighs in. I tell my mother I've won the Nobel Prize. Again, she says? Which discipline this time? It's a little game we play. I pretend I'm somebody. She pretends she isn't dead.
Hi, y'all. Can you hear me okay? Instructions for the interviewer. She will say, "Once I didn't know there was a hollow inside me until he pushed himself into it. And once you learned that inside you was not hollow, but seam, color of the rim of the river, tonguing the long dark shore of stone, reflection of yourself, an endless ripple and corrugated metal, width of the silver bangle circling now her thin, dark arm. Take the tea she offers." She will say, "Once I was young, like you. And once you wanted anyone to fill you with blue noise. Once you didn't know your own body's worth. Put the porcelain cup down. Let it slide into the saucer's waiting hollow." So I spent a year in Bangladesh interviewing Bangladeshi women who were raped by the Pakistani army in 1971 Liberation War. And not too long before I went to Bangladesh, my grandmother passed away, and she was one of the voices I was hoping to record. And this is called Elegy with Her Red-Tipped Fingers. And I just wanted to take a second and thank Blackbird and Diode for putting together this reading. Elegy with Her Red-Tipped Fingers. 2 weeks ago, I crossed two oceans wide as the funeral processions to your grave. Bearded men continue to thumb plastic prayer beads beside your sheet-swaddled corpse. And grandmother in Virginia, I cradled the phone to my cheek. I stood over the dark skillet, waiting to turn over another slice of bacon to slip into my mouth, knowing well that that sin too, like so many others, would dissolve once I willed it to. Allah Borosha, I mumbled to your daughter, it's Allah's will. Words I knew couldn't fill even that half-filled suitcase spilled out across hardwood floor. Color of the low yellow plains of West Texas, mother sobbed past on her way to the airport, compelling her body faster towards yours before it disappeared into its bamboo-bordered grave. Once I stood over your other granddaughter's grave while cicadas hummed the sky clean. And once I wanted to be the white wind, sure to cross any open field. And once I lay beside you. I was a child. I was a body unmoving. I was slowly filling with feathers. And together we lay there, listened to grandfather's breathing, labored against white mosquito netting. And now you two are dead. 2 weeks too early. And now, after another seam-thin rickshawwala pedals my ocean-tugged body across these severed Dhaka streets, and after I have slipped into his dark fingers a few extra Dhakas, and after I have made my way past storefronts choked with glittering stacks of gold bangles, and after another tailor has slipped from his neck the faded measuring tape, and after he has pulled a taut across my back, around my leg, who, if not you, will ask me to tear free the folded fabric from its paper parcel to finger the soft silk? Who will ask of me its worth, its weight? I kneel, open another razor plastic cap from the slowly emptying suitcase, lotion, mosquito repellent, tape recorder, items on a list I draw thick black lines through. But it won't be your voice I rewind over, fast forward through. It won't be your hair you'll sit beside the open window to rub henna into. It won't be your red-tipped fingers I'll press a jar into. Small gift you won't have asked me to bring. And it won't be your veins I'll notice too late. Fluvial ribbons rising stark and sudden through the silk-thin skin of your hands that will never turn over another page of newsprint dark with Bangla. Language I speak now to your grieving daughter. Language the bodies of women were once broken open for. Put up your hair. Your voice will never again admonish me. Please let me see your lovely face. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? This is a new poem called The Gun Joke. It's funny, she says, how many people are shocked by this shooting and the next and the next. She doesn't mean funny as in funny, but funny as in blood soup tastes funny when you mix in soil. Stop me if you haven't heard this one. A young man, old man, strange boy, teenager, walks into an office, theater, daycare, club, and empties a magazine into a crowd of strangers, family, students. Ever hear the one about the shotgun? What do you call it when a shotgun tests a liquor store's bulletproof glass? What do you call blood seeping into my neighbor's lawn? What do you call it when a man sets his own house on fire, waits for the firefighters to arrive in a sniper's position? Stop me if you have heard this one. A senior citizen walks into a police station and says nothing. He's 38, standing in for a voice lost to cancer. The pistol chokes when he squeezes its trigger, but manages to stutter, stop me. Stop me. The first time a man pulled a gun on me, he said it was a joke, but he never so much as smiled. The second time a man pulled a gun on me, he said, "This definitely is not a joke." Right before, laughter crackled through him like electrostatic. Funny how that works. When she says it's funny, she means funny as in crazy, and crazy as in this should not happen. This should not happen as in something is off. Funny as in off, off as in funny, funny as in ever since a small caliber bullet chipped away part of his spine. Your small friend walks kind of funny and doesn't smile as much. This is The Sky Now Black with Birds. If I tell you riot helmets eventually outnumbered protesters who stuck around after Troy Davis was executed to throw punches into the useless courtyard grass. If I tell you, a woman lay face down in the lawn, clutching a Bible, green sea beginning to memorize the shape of her grief. If I say, death, cure death, and have such power over the scythe, how many cranes will it take to lift her out of this drowning? If I tell you, white supremacist Lawrence Brewer was executed 5 hours earlier for the death of James Byrd. If I ask you to look for birds foraging between his intricate tattoos, I don't mean to distract you from the cross that also burned on his arm that day. I don't expect you to stare into a graffiti of iron crosses and spider webs scrawled across flesh and find a thrush vibrating with birdsong, but I hope you'll understand why I keep listening for more than the calling of crows. I wanted Brewer dead, so dead my tongue swelled fat with hexes, so fat I wonder how could forgive ever fit inside of my mouth. Yet somehow, it's always there fluttering behind the tongue of Ross Byrd, a man whose father was dragged urine-soaked by Lawrence behind a truck. Watch him say it. Forgive. I swear the word has feathers. I want to learn to get its wings between my teeth before more retribution blots out the sky. If I tell you, glare flickered off of a cop's visor and startled one crow away from the murder that had flapped the sky into inky pieces, I want you to watch it close enough to realize that its feathers are not black at all, like bruises and ink. They are only this full-bodied purple, a purple so deep and so rich your eyes will swear it is black the next time you see it spread across sky. Watch it spread into a chest like ink, into this body, muscle, steel, by the drip of pancuronium bromide until you can notice the precise moment the muscles lock. If it is said the injection is humane, we mean to say this is humanity. No crack of rope, no jerk of limb, no clenched jaw or bloated face, no reek rising, twisted in smoke from a cooked torso. We mean to say there is nothing to disturb the nest between our ribs. There is nothing to make a heartbeat rumble like a murder of so many wings. Thank you for listening.
Well, that's hard to follow. I'm Catherine Pierce, and I also want to say thank you to Diode and to Blackbird for putting this together, and I just love both those magazines so much, and I'm so happy to be a part of this event and this lineup. Going to read 3 poems. This one is called Dear Day. Dear Day, lately I am more aware of how easily you might lope carelessly off into a fog of never and gray, and so when you come in the morning with your pincers on, when you wake me with your snorts and hacks, when you lie down next to me with your scales poking all my soft places, I hold you to me. The bruises will heal, and it isn't your fault you're so spiny. Day, you lower your monstrous head and let me pat it. You are gleaming and everything. You are genus unknown, phylum unnamed. You glint and lumber, you drool and growl. Soon, maybe, you'll let me climb on your back. Soon, maybe, we'll bullet together into forests and glades and gladness. So stay. Walk beside me with your armor on. Breathe flames at the beasts that bite.
If I get singed, it's okay. I'd pay levy upon levy for your glittering shadow beside me. This is called She Gets Drunk and Talks Too Much at Her 20th Reunion. Used to be, I was locked in the future. And the future was no blank canvas, was no white page, but was crammed with graveyards and rivers and red eyes. All black and green and gold, all sailing off the edge, all how do you know which mushrooms are poison? Used to be, everybody's a baby in my fantasies. But mainly my fantasies were silent, occasional voices flapping past the moving windows, oral hitchhikers. Used to be I'd pick the voices up for a while, then drop them in the next town. If they got rough, the gun came out. Used to be I was going to ride horses and sail schooners. I was always going to have 12 babies, and they were all going to live. Sometimes the future was the prairie in 1870. I wore hay in my hair and howled till the wind matched my pitch. Sometimes it was Fenwick Island in the 60s, and I saved men and women from the snarling waves. Sometimes I crawled through movie screens and snatched plastic apples right from the almost bite of starlets. The starlets hated me because I could climb out of the screen again. They wanted to leave. Oh, baby, I told the girls, everybody wants to leave. It's when you stop wanting it, you're in trouble. And this last one is called Because I'll Never Swim in Every Ocean. Want is 10,000 blue feathers falling all around me, and me unable to stomach that I might catch 5, but never 10,000. So I drop my hands to my sides and wait to be buried. I open a book, and the words spring and taunt, flashes, motel, lapidary, piranha, of every story, every poem I'll never know well enough to conjure in sleep. What's the point of words if I can't own them all? I toss book after book into my imaginary trash can fire. Or I think I'll learn piano. At the first lesson, we're clapping whole and half notes, and this is childish. I'm better than this. I'd like to leave playing Ravel. I'd like to give a concerto on Saturday. So I quit. I have standards. Then on Saturday, I have a beer, watch a telethon. Or we watch a documentary on Antarctica. The interviewees are from Belarus, Lima, Berlin. Everyone speaks English. Everyone names a philosopher, an ethos. One man carries a raft on his back at all times. I went to Nebraska once and swore it was a great adventure. It was. I think of how I'll never go to Antarctica, mainly because I don't much want to. But I should want to. I should be the girl with a raft on her back. When I think of all the mountains and monuments and skyscapes I haven't seen, all the trains I should take, all the camels and mopeds and ferries I should ride, all the scorching hikes I should nearly die on, I press my body down, down into the vast green couch. If I step out the door, the infinity of what I've missed will Zorro me across the face with a big L for lazy. Sometimes I watch finches at the feeder, their bodies small suns, and have to grab the sill to steady myself. Metaphorically, of course, I'm no loon. Look, even my awestruck is half-assed. But I'm so tired of the small steps, the pentatonic scale, the frequent flyer hoarding, the one exquisite sentence in a forest of exquisite sentences. There is a globe welling up inside of me, mountain ranges ridging my skin, oceans filling my mouth. If I stay still long enough, I could become my own world. Thanks.
Thanks so much for putting this together and everyone for coming. There's so many of you. I'm going to read some old stuff and then some new stuff. Brothers Keeper, Circle, Lesser Linen, Nested, Repentance, Cleft, Cherith, Knowledge, Ravens, Stone and Flame, Change for Rahab, Light Bent, and Candle Lit, Deep Nested and Resurrected to Celandine's Sight, Mud Made, Landing Light Fades, The Trunk, Seven Magpies, Blue with Age, inundate Rain Crow, yellow-lidded, broken, his nestless nose. Pretty tail like hazel twigs, bone, cheek, window tapped. Sing water, dipper stitch, fade down, moss-backed jade. Coral and whales wade deeper, fading to marsh brown. Conifer wedged with hickory nut, hawkweed walk down. By white stripe, rowan hid, heart fed, his words spoken. Underneath rain comes bird teeth, lavender pressed pane, tin hammered oak, lantern lit. Unspoken, dog rubs golden, stars for Sophia's secret tarnish. Barnacle hatched, fig fed liver, inflamed. Bind, epaulettes red with sedge, black feet unseared. Wickering against cloud dust, crooked limbs clasp, brown blotched down. Soil sown, pheasant eye, burns green, mirrored end. Late autumn rain, grounded, swift, chimney bred, now hermit caved. Sister twin grade, plover steps through boreal snow. Look after, iris brown, slate winged, winter twin, frost edged. Light feathers, lost, restitution, crushed thread. For brother heart, sheer waters share an emptied nest. The youngest, ashed and oily, smell of him sticking to our wrists. March 19th, May 1st, depression nested, rusted grouse, yolk fed. Stretch cross country, born under, quick cloud sore, cut bent or worn. Blade will pierce, merry blue and wood bellied, nest raised. Sweet song, thicket edged with blood sucked cheek. Thistle down, half empty. These are newer. Blue doors, 10 stars, open, staff, book, key. Soot over sink foil, thick throat croaks, await enlisted. Clever like children, inked iris trained. Hiding, watch minds, evade grift gaze. Threat-faced memory, grudge held. Pitch skims, 40 dusks, land seen, of valley, pick eye, young fed death. Untended eggs amassed, morning, evening, bread and flesh. Footing grasses, blue eyes, reliant, call lead. Hawks, hard shouldered, slip steady, brace jointly, scream river swell. Reservoir reflects not, over whispers, stars spill, and find for herself a place of rest. Night howl ye, yellow gaze from bark blend, wing hush. Sparks of God or brain swell, buckshot fireworkings of lung and heart, jumping ribs cage. Daylight's empty meadow, echoing fawns shone. Bare throated, hang geeked, for oak. My sawdust stuffings, bust, seam swell, wilderness rain surged. Bloom in me like jonquil, low gathered, many sparked, color of sun glint, late season strong, warm bedded. Two more. Hand over heart, straight swaying like spotted starling flung from Orion's blade. Strasbun strands on pillow, clinging waist. 14, my spring clippings, yard bird taken.
Well, first of all, thanks so much to Patty and Jeff for the wonderful stuff you've done with Diode, and to Mary and Greg and all the staff at Blackbird. It's just an amazing magazine. You know, people. When people ask me, you know, where do you teach? And I say at VCU, and you know, you expect them to say, oh, that's got a great MFA program. But they say, isn't that where Blackbird comes out of? So, you know, it's the jewel of our crown. So, you know, again, thank you, everyone. And thanks especially to, you know, you four great editors. year or two ago, I was asked by a magazine, for 25 American poets were asked to translate the same poem by the Roman Emperor Hadrian, which was at one time the most famous poem in the ancient world. He wrote it on his deathbed when, you know, he was saying goodbye to his soul. So here's my little version of it. Little soul, charismatic vagabond, honored guest, comrade of the body, now you shall depart into those regions, fog-bound, anesthetized, and barren. Here, your laughter served you well. There, everlasting, your mouths stitched shut. That's the epigraph of this poem, which is called My Father's Soul Departing. Not much you need to know about it. My father was one of those last generations of railroad men, and he was clinically depressed in a major way. So that's in the poem. It's also a detail that I was fascinated by when I read that they take a survey a couple of years ago of the population of Britain, and 45% of the British populace couldn't remember the number of their landline phones. So I wanted to get the phone number I had when I was a child into this poem as a consequence. So it's in there somewhere. It's called My Father's Soul Departing, and the epigraph is that little poem I wrote, or that little translation. Assume, dear vagabond, you are permitted one last survey. Your 21 grams of existence, little soul, the weight exactly of a ruby-throated hummer, shall hover the foliated stamens of your earthly measure. How you dart and pivot on a guest, your thirst unquenchable. Here's Milbank, South Dakota, the saffron dust bowl where your father, dear comrade, raises his belt to crisscross your back, the 25 lesions. Here at the state hospital, your mother ballooning with insulin to induce the coma meant to cure the demons marauding the precincts of her abject brain. Now you shall depart. A milk run in Duluth, a quart bottle bursting on a frozen stoop, then a troop ship bound for Tunis and into the regions of desert where you wander your 40 days. You rifle the pockets of a dead Wehrmacht corporal, Luger, and a snake bite kit. And now you lean from a baggage car door, hefting a postal sack. As the train slows for a station, Breckenridge, your sleepy eye slows but will not stop for 27 years. The railroad men's hotels along the tracks, pools of bourbon from a dented flats, the white Dakota plains, fog-bound, anesthetized, and barren, montage of 7 Chevy Biscaynes, the songbook of Ernest Tubbs, a shingled ranch deriving from the GI Bill, Garden 6, 2477, the receiver lifted from the cradle as you weep into a stranger who's purloined your pension. Pulls of bourbon from a highball glass, from a coffee cup, the thrall and ratchet of ECT, your dress rehearsal for oblivion. When I remember, your laughter did not serve you well. Honored guest, comrade of the body, your farewell is complete. Blessed the descent which beckons, there everlasting, your mouths stitched shut. And I remember something the poet Bill Matthews said is basically every lyric poem is a bird call. You know, it's a, here I am. And I've always thought that was interesting. And I remember a couple of years ago sitting at a restaurant table while this couple was flirting. And, you know, the means of their flirtation was an iPhone app in which the woman had a app that gave you pictures and a little recording of every bird call of every American songbird. And that started some very interesting things going on between them. And I've been writing poems lately that aren't language poems, but about language. And the Fox P2, the gene for language, and the gene for vocalization. And so, you know, we wouldn't be able to write these Here I Am lyric poems without it. So that's in there. And finally, one thing, you know, at this restaurant where I saw the couple, it was a sushi bar. And for years, I had this line that I put in just about every poem because I loved it so much. It was yellowfin a slather with wasabi. It never would work. And finally, I got to work into this poem about language. And one more thing. The year 1952 was an amazing year. It was when Hillary conquered Everest. It was when the Watson and Crick discovered the ladder for DNA. And it was also when this wonderful archaeologist and linguist, Michael Ventris, translated the Cretan language, Linear B. And I always wanted to be born in 1952, and just because of that. But my father told me I was conceived on New Year's Eve of 1952-53, so I almost didn't make it. So anyway, ode to Fox P2, the gene is with us an essential role in vocalization, speech, and language. The songbird's glyph is thumbtack-sized but glowing. Scroll up, scroll down, warbler, thrush, the common crow, each asserting its location and intentions from a speaker greatly miniaturized and embedded in the phone beside the purse on the restaurant table. An app, the woman shows the man as their chopsticks address the amazing role. North American songbirds, every species, coo-coo-ree, choo-choo-choo. A hyoid bone unearthed in Sinai proves Neanderthal was capable of full human speech. So the man is mouthing, ah. The woman's stocking foot slithers up the inside of his thigh. Here I am, pinpoint my location, my plumage, neckwear fashioned of patterned silk, cleavage, fishnet, and red stiletto, upturned on a bistro carpet, lips ensanguined, hazed with a gloss, cuckoo-ree, utter and call your way to thy plumage, yellowfin a slather with wasabi, napkin to his mouth, the man sighing, ah, ah, and ah, to be continued. The hyoid delicate and avian, vibrating its own corporeal cry of middle sea, enabling Deborah Harry from a speaker in the ceiling to bemoan her heart of glass, replaced by Big Joe Turner, gutturaling, honey, hush, get out of that house and stop that yakety yak, enabling the concept of glyph, wasabi, stiletto heel, of the heart likened to a towel-shrouded wine glass stomped upon beneath the canopies at Jewish weddings. Enabling Anno Domini, the concept of 1952. The one, a stick-thin Giacometti man. The nine, a boy, encephalitic head bent down, no doubt in sorrow, though the five will soon give birth to twins, one to die in utero, and now the caboose of two. Rearing swan, all serpent neck and hiss. Coo, coo, ree. Sing cuckoo, loud sing cuckoo. Summer is a coming in. Summer, summer, 1952. Sir Hillary and forgotten Sherpa scaling Everest, and Watson and Crick unraveling and lo the trellised vine of DNA, and Michael Ventris, after 17 years of labor, identifying Linear B as an early form of Greek, enabling time travel. Though the house of the past is jugs of oil, oxen in the stables of King Minos, a bill of sale for 18 Cypriot slaves. My plumage, coo-coo-ree, yellowfin, wasabi, and yakety-yak, oh yes, oh yes, oh good, 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 my father setting a thin black platter on a whirling disc to hear Roy Acuff tell a beautiful thought. Concerning the great speckled bird, I am glad to know my name is recorded. He, Lude Singh, is seeing the old year out, and foxtrotting with my mother, having ripped December, 1 and 9 and 5 and 2, from a shotgun apartment kitchen wall. My plumage, my heart of glass, my early form of Greek, a howl uttered 9 months later to the day inside the concept of Miller Hospital, shining on a hill atop the concept of St. Paul, Minnesota. House of the past, hyoid, hyoid, loud sing, here I am, Lord, won't you send me my plumage, amen.
Thank you.
I too want to thank Diota and Blackbird for this amazing assembly of readers. It's a little hard to follow all of you. I'm going to start with a poem of mine titled The Bridge. I love. Wouldn't we all like to start a poem with I love? I mean, I would. I love the fact there are parallel lines in the word parallel. Love how words sometimes mirror what they mean. I love mirrors and that stupid tale about Narcissus. I suppose there is some narcissism in that. You know, narcissism, what you remind me to avoid almost all the time. Yeah, I love narcissism. I do. But what I really love is ice cream. Remember how I told you no amount of ice cream could survive a week in our freezer? You didn't believe me, did you? No, you didn't. But you know now how true that is. I love that you know my Achilles heel is none other than ice cream. So chilly, so common. And I love fountain pens. I mean, I just love them. Cleaning them, filling them with ink, fills me with a kind of joy, even if joy is so 1950s. I know, no one talks about joy anymore. It is even more taboo than love. And so, of course, I love joy. I love the way joy sounds as it exits your mouth. You know, the word joy. How joyous is that? It makes me think of bubbles, chandeliers, dandelions. I love the way the mind runs that pathway from bubbles to dandelions. Yes, I love a lot. And right here, walking down this street, I love the way we make a bridge, a suspension bridge, almost as beautiful as the Golden Gate Bridge. Swaying as we walk hand in hand. Torn. There was the knife and the broken syringe, then the needle in my hand, the true cut followed by the night blue suture. The wall behind registration listed a man with his face open. Through the glass windows, I saw the sky going blue to black as it had 24 hours earlier when I last stood there gazing off into space, into the nothingness of that town. Bat to the head, knife to the face, they tore down the boy in an alleyway, the broken syringe skittering across the sidewalk, no concussion but the face torn open, the blood congealed and crusted along his cheek. Stitch up the faggot in bed six, is all the ER doctor had said. Queasy from the lack of sleep, I steadied my hands as best as I could after cleaning up the dried blood. There was the needle and the night blue suture trailing behind it. There was the flesh torn and the skin open. I sat there and threw stitch after stitch, trying to put him back together again. When the tears ran down his face, I prayed it was a result of my work and not the work of the men in the alley. Even though I knew there were always others to be seen, I sat there and slowly threw each stitch. There were always others to be seen. There was always the bat and the knife. I said nothing, and the tears kept welling in his eyes. And even though I was told to be quick and dirty, told to spend less than 20 minutes, I sat there for over an hour, closing the wound so that each edge met its opposing match. I wanted him to be beautiful again. Stitch up the faggot in bed six. Each suture thrown reminded me I would never be safe in that town. There would always be the bat and the knife, always a fool willing to tear me open to see the dirty faggot inside. And when they came in drunk or high with their own wounds, when they bragged about their scuffles with the knife and that other world of men, I sat there and sutured. I sat there like an old woman and sewed them up. Stitch after stitch, the slender exactness of my fingers attempted perfection. I sat there and sewed them up. Thank you.
Thank you, Blackbird. Thank you, Diode. I've been asked to tell you that we are going to be selling the naming rights to the C in C. Dale Young. If you're not going to use it. This poem is called Everything's Fine. To read my poems in Arizona about global warming, I'll get on a plane and contribute to global warming. I can offset this by dying 3 months early or killing an industrialist. If I kill an industrialist, I'll go to prison now, but be a hero in years to come when the Arctic has completely melted. No more yarmulke on the earth. We're thinking of getting solar, but it costs so much, I'll have to read my poems about global warming wherever I can. But who wants to hear poems about global warming? They're hard to make sexy since no one has made out with the climate or smoked a cigarette with the sun. And they sound like scolding, like I'm telling the Industrial Revolution to go to bed without supper. I prefer to write poems about the wardrobe of my soul or the symbolism of yo-yos or exile as a contact sport. But there's another heat advisory. I call them breathing optional days. At least we've tried everything we can to do nothing. You have to admire our faith that natural selection will reward those whose skin is leather. And I, too, am looking forward to oceanside property in Michigan. Yes, I will read my poems about global warming in Arizona. Thank you for asking, for picking me up in a limo, for cranking the air, for showing the desert who's boss. We're the boss. Our big brains are how you can tell. This is called For You Alone. One knows the world is falling slightly faster than rising. This is why one has the second beer or tries to stretch the triple into a love affair. One is called out at home and asks the ump how anyone can know anything for sure, and is told it's the little hat the umpire wears that makes all the epistemological difference in the world. One is pleased by this news and the tales of comets and the various enthusiasms of children in playgrounds when they gather their shrieks into a single ululation holding up the sky. One knows the sky is not actually held up by this joy, but one needs to take a stab at meaning before meaning takes a swing at one. One dreams of less violence for oneself and others, and of growing old with a cane, because one wants to think one is standing in the middle of a great party, or that osprey are pending, or that love something something. One says a lot that makes little sense, like one believes in peace an hour before one wants to punch the Secretary of Defense in the nose. But one can only speak for oneself and others and people who don't exist and dogs. An update from the left. We are marching through town, a crowd of us protesting the next war, the war that hasn't happened but is coming. The war, we're assured, will never occur, but is inevitable. Marching early because some of us won't be able to get off work during the next war. Some will be dead. Some will prefer out to go out on a date, to bowl and wonder who will kiss whom. A song playing that will become their song, or our song if it's the two of us in a car in your drive. Aware of the war, but wanting to touch, more than anything, wanting to thrash, one chalice of breath against another. We are marching out of town to the fields, to scream at the trees, the sun, to fall down and be tired of screaming under the moon, to sleep in dirt and rise in dirt and look at the person beside us and tell them they look wonderful. Is it your color, dirt? We will say before licking each other clean, before channeling our inner mother dear, before heading back to do that thing we've been putting off. There is always that thing we've been putting off, always shopping for new shoes or getting a checkup or peace. I got an email recently from a friend who, I didn't know this until I got the email, is having heart trouble. And the title is the message in its entirety. I am a loser, two stents, doing fine. 4 a.m. Email inquiring my penis. Delete my penis. Request I bring my boredom to room 316 Monday noon. Ignore my boredom. Cryptic almost death of almost bear. Former junkie emphatic bear. Speed voweled truly bear. I am not showing off for bear. Bear can hug wife and kids and golf and poetry and America bear. Bear just needs new body bear. Bear needs loner bear. Spirit bear of bear is fine. Spirit bear of bear is the sun eating shadow fish from shadow river. Spirit bear of bear rumbles lumber silly downhill with rusted bear trap biting heart. I love bear and saying bear. I love saying I love bear and saying I love bear and saying bear. The history of closed eyes rests upon me. It's 4 a.m. and 4 a.m. is crows dressed in blackbirds. Blackbirds shooting up oil. The only light is pixelated. The words of a bear and a cursor blinking speak. My head blinking barely, the most naked. The only blood honest prayer, live. Thank you for listening.
Thank you all so much for coming. What a wonderful reading. Thank you very much to all of the readers. What a spectacular reading. One more round of applause. Thank you.